good. Amen. Amen. All right, take your books. Take your Bible to the book of James. The book of James this evening. James chapter 4. I'm going to give you something. I'm not giving you. I'm just giving you what the Lord's already given us. It's in this book, straight out of the book. People are always looking for self-helps and step 1, 2, 3, and 4 to get from point A to point B. And man has made a buku of money off this stuff. They really have. The Bible bookstores are full of that kind of stuff. You know, there's churches that eat that kind of stuff up. And I just believe the Bible, and the Bible has plenty of that in there. If we'll just mind the Lord, and, you know, He tells us, people make it so complicated. And tonight, I hope you'll see how easy it really is. And I believe that tonight we can see some victory here in James chapter 4. If we'll just follow the Lord and what He says to do here. So James chapter 4, if you can, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this evening. What a wonderful book. There's a great question in verse number 1. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Ain't no fighting going on, is it? I asked Miss Mary if she'd do anything with Terry. She said there wasn't no hope. I asked you that. Didn't I ask you that, Miss Mary? I asked. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? And then God says, come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? So what's the warring about? Where's it coming from? And 99.9% of the people will always say it's somebody else's fault. That's not what God said. God says you're fighting and feuding because of the lust inside of yourself. Verse 2, you lust. No, I don't. God says you do. You lust and have not. You kill. No, I don't. God says you do. Everybody in this room is a murderer. Preacher, I've never killed anybody. We all killed Christ. But then, the Bible also teaches us over there, we kill them with our mind. And you think those things. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses. Now, look up here just a minute. God just called us something. What did He just call us? Adulterers and adulteresses. Why? Why would He call us that? Because we've played that part. We say, oh, how I love Jesus, but we have an affair with the world. That's what God said. Pretty simple. Ye adulterers, or adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I know that. Now, if you take that in the Hebrew, it means the same thing. So, I have no idea what it says in the Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew, but I bet you, I don't bet, so I better not say that word. I guarantee you it says the same thing. There you go. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy with God. That's bad. Now, look at verse 5. This is interesting. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain. You think God said all that just to be saying something? I wonder what He said all that about. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us that lusteth to envy? And then verse number 6. But He giveth more grace. You know what that tells me tonight? There's great hope. I don't know who you are, or what you're doing, where you're heading, or what you're going to do this week. He'll give more grace. I don't care how dirty you are or what you fall into this week or how you fail God. He'll give more grace. What a great thought. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Sure, thank you, Lord, again for the privilege, God, just to be at church tonight, Lord, to be around my brothers, my sisters in Christ, and God, just to hear the good songs, and God, to, Lord, just to have the good fellowship, and Lord, just to be able to open up the Word of God together and study and to listen and to hear, and God, what saith the Scriptures, Lord, and God, thank you, Lord, for meeting with us. God, I know tonight it'd all be in vain, Lord, if it wasn't for you. And Lord, I'm glad tonight as we read Scripture, God, as we try to just be that messenger, God, to relay, Lord, what you've laid upon our heart, Lord, that God, tonight, Lord, I know, God, that you're on the throne and God, all is well. And I pray tonight, God, that you just speak to hearts. Lord, I don't know where people are at. Lord, I have no idea what this week's going to hold for people. But Lord, I'm so glad tonight that you give more grace. God, help us tonight to get a hold of these little things, Lord, and God, make much of them. Lord, I pray for the lost this evening, Lord. God, we're going to be around lost people, maybe even tonight, Lord, I don't know. But God, help us to never forget, God, there's loss. And Lord, help us to be mindful, Lord. And Lord, we're going to praise you. We're going to thank you for what you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I was thinking a minute ago, I'm so thankful to have a good church. I didn't say the pastor was any good. I just like the church, amen. Just to be able to feel the power of God. I was thinking, you know, I don't take this the wrong way. I believe we get more preaching and praying than most churches get in preaching. Amen. I'm glad we got some men that know how to get a hold of God. Amen. I'm glad we sing songs that edify and lift up the Lord. And we can leave this place here a little bit and know that we've met with the Lord and the Lord's met with us. And it'd be good. Amen. But here tonight in James chapter 4, I really believe this evening there's a pathway here that God shows us to have some victory. And again, I get defeated. I don't know about you. I get discouraged. I don't know about you. But God gives us some things here tonight, I believe, that will help me, help you, to understand that we can have a victorious Christian life. God wants that. You know, a lot of people think, you know, Christianity is you got to be oppressed. You got to be, have the mully grubs, and you got to have the sour lip and all that. And you got, you know, they look at a lot of, and that's the wrong impression. I'm glad that when I can really get a hold of what God's done for me, I can put a smile on my face. When I get past myself and see how great God is in my life and what God is doing, what God's going to do, thinking about a home in heaven and all the blessings of heaven, and we ought to smile. We ought to just thank God. Boy, there's something to live for, amen. And I'm glad, you know, we ought to feel sorry for the ones that live in this world. We ought to. And I see here this scene that God shows us some things, but again, we ought to be real. I don't like people that ain't real. And I know me and Russell are probably the only two people I know that are realists. My wife calls me a pessimist, but me and Russell, we know what realists mean. You know, I'm all for positive thinking, and I understand that theory and all that. But, you know, there's got to be something real about it. You know, you can think it all you want to, but it ain't going to change nothing. And I believe that's what God is really dealing with here in these first five verses here. He's dealing with the real fact of what we are made out of. And you don't need to realize, you know, you need to always realize this flesh is flesh. It's wicked, it's vile, it's dirty, it's ungodly. I mean, I don't care how you clean it up. I don't care how much perfume you put on it. I don't care how you paint it. I don't care what you do with it. It's still flesh. And it still has them old dirty tendencies. It always has those things that just, you know, you think, listen, young people, you'll figure this out the older you get, but how about us older people? You ever go in a restaurant and hear a song from your young days and think, where in the world did all that start coming from? Be driving down the road and something just come into your mind. It's like, God help me, where'd that come from? Preacher, you shouldn't say that. It's the truth. Why do we want to live in a fantasy world? Why don't we deal with reality and understand? I mean, I don't glory in those things. But I do glory in the cross, and I do glory in the fact that I'm saved. I'm glorying in the fact that I'm not what I used to be. I'm glad I have tendencies that are a lot greater than what I used to have for the Lord. But I don't glory in those things. But they are a reality. And the problem is, you know, a lot of times, and I'm so thankful God has added to the church, and that God, we're seeing people saved, and we're seeing people come to the church. But, you know, it's discouraging sometimes for people that's not been in around church much. Because they'll look at people and think y'all are super Christians. See, they just don't know you. I've seen some of the meanest people I've ever met in a church. I've heard some of the worst things said in a church. Why? Because churches are made out of what? People. You know what the only difference in me than the guy down here in the jail? Well, the guy in jail might be saved. But we don't need to glory in us. And I believe this season, when you see these first five verses, look at it again. He says, "From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war where? In your members." See, that's this old flesh, this old desire, this thing that, you know, these eyes, be careful what they see. These ears, be careful what they hear. These feet, be careful where they take me. These hands, be careful what they touch. Why? Because they got this old lust about them. Then he says, "Ye lust and ye have not." See the frailty of it? Aren't you glad tonight, when the day you accepted Christ, you got it all? There's these people, they want something. They try so hard to obtain it in this world. I know people that have sold their lives to obtain some physical possession. There's nothing that I have in this world that's getting better. Everything that I own, every car that I have, it's wearing out. I talked to a guy 2 weeks ago now about a truck that he just bought, and I about died when he told me what he paid for that truck. He almost paid as much for that truck as it cost me to build my house. I thought. I've slept in a car once or twice in my life. I'm so glad I got a bed to sleep in. I mean, I know it's nice to have cars. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a nice car. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, you know, if I paid $70,000, $80,000 for something. I used to work on a car a lot when I went to college. I washed cars to have food to eat. And every car that those guys would sell, and these were BMW lot in Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, these wasn't cheap cars. Every car they sold, as soon as it went off the lot, guess what? It lost value. You couldn't buy it for $40,000, $50,000 and then turn around and say, "Here, I want to sell it back to you for the same thing." Why? Because it loses. Your house. Constantly having to do things, aren't we? This wears out. That breaks. The thing you look in the mirror at. That's enough said, right? Ow, ooh, ee. It's the old saying, if it don't hurt, it don't work. And that's what God's trying to let us see. This is the reality of where we live. And the reality is, this old flesh is wicked. This old flesh. Listen. I don't know how to say this. I want to make sure I say it in the right way. Young guys, I hope that, do I even want to say this? I'm scared. It needs to be said, but I want to make sure I say it right. I'm glad guys like girls. And I'm glad girls like guys. But I don't care how old you get and how spiritual you are. These eyes will... It's getting ready to be summertime. Nakedness will be running around everywhere. Oh, I don't look at that. Tell me another lie. Well, what do you do with that? You better get it in control. You better understand where it's coming from and what it leads to. Now, most people say we shouldn't talk about that, and that's the reason we have the problems of... Have you ever... I don't know why I'm there tonight. Does anybody... I'm not the most educated guy in the world. I'm not saying that I am. But does anybody see a problem? And this week, they've had five... And this is just the Charlotte News that I've seen. Five people in the educational system that has been caught on sex crimes. Is there a problem? I wonder what to fix that problem. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But, you know, we walk around and we pretend that there's nothing wrong. This bathroom bill, it drives me insane. Well, nothing's ever happened. That's a lie. And the sad part is, what's going to happen is there's going to be some daddies that's going to get in trouble. Because they're going to kill somebody. Or beat the devil out of them, either way. And they're going to go to jail. And when that pervert gets to walk free, something wrong. And God tells us what the problem is. It's the flesh. He says you lust and you have this war in your members. Is it not a fight? I mean, if you're not fighting with your flesh, something wrong. Paul said it. Paul said he's constantly fighting his flesh. Jesus said, I must die daily. Every day, Paul was dealing with his stinking flesh. He says, you lust. And we do. And see where lust has? Has nothing. That's what he says, you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Look, that's who's he talking to? He's talking to me. I need to examine my prayer life. I need to examine my priorities. I need to examine where I'm heading and what I'm doing. That's what he's saying. Then he calls us that terrible thought. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. We ought to just park there and think this here and ponder. God, why would you call? I'd rather be called a sheep. That ain't what God called me. Because when I love the world and I have a desire for the world and I don't have a desire for Him, I'm an adulteress. Why? Because I've been bought with a price. I belong to the Lord. He's mine and I'm His. He says, but you've turned from your first love. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not? Don't we know? I mean, are we so blinded to the fact that we can't love the world and love God? They're not the same. But, buddy, hadn't we, in our day, we tried to grab both sides and bring them together in the name of religion. And God says, that don't fit. That don't work. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world. I love my Bible. God said, whosoever. From the preacher to the deacon, to the choir leader, to the choir member, to the Sunday school teacher, to the guy on the bus route, to the guy sitting in the pew. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world. And this, what powerful words. He first says we're adulterers, and then he says, you're my enemy. Either you're with God or you're against God. Now, I never was. Not Tony, I ain't bringing up your past, but you've shared this. Tony used to like to fight. Rhonda's like, yeah. I never was much of a fighter. I just laid low. I didn't mind hitting on the football field. Didn't mind wrestling on the wrestling mat, but I didn't go looking to get a black eye. But if I was going to fight somebody, I would want to win. But if I saw a guy that was four times bigger than I was, I don't think I'd want to fight him. I wouldn't want him to be my enemy. And we're not talking about me and Tony being enemies. We're talking about being an enemy with God. How are you going to fight that one and win? I'm just being realistic with you. I'm just trying to, let's reason this thing together. He says, you're going to be my enemy. But then thank God for grace. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. But notice what he says. Look at the conditions. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. But notice what he says. But giveth what? Unto the what? Humble. These first five verses is the humility of who I am. Now, when I don't realize that there's a lustful nature, when I don't realize that I'm a liar or a thief, or when I don't realize I have these tendencies, I'm not very humble. But when I realize that I am that, and I realize who God is, and I realize what I am, and I realize I know God loves me, but I want to love Him back, that's humility. And I'm thankful. He says, he just didn't say, I give grace. He gives more grace. No matter where I fall, no matter what I run into, no matter how far down the ditch I might go, God says there'll always be enough grace. Hello? There's more grace. Preacher, how are we going to make it tomorrow? There's more grace. What if this? I don't love it. People play that what if game with me so much. What if? There's more grace. He says he giveth more grace. Now, I said there's a pattern here. How do you get this? How do you obtain? How do you receive this? Well, he gives some things here. I think four things I want to real quickly get a hold of. Verse 6, he gives more grace. How? Look at verse number 7. And these are pretty much in order how you have to do them. First, he says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. If we're going to have victory over this stinking flesh, if we're going to get victory over this world, if we're going to get victory in our life, the first thing, uno number one, why people don't get victory, why people struggle, is there's a submissive, I ain't submitting to my husband. Some of the husbands I've met in my day, I wouldn't want to submit to them either. Didn't tell you what God says, but submission. We need to understand, we're not God. I'm not my own master. I've got to submit. That word submit means to yield or surrender oneself to the will or authority of another. And God says, if you want to have some victory, if you want to grow in the Lord, the first thing we've all got to do is submission. Boy, that's a powerful, powerful need of our day. Brother Mark, I've talked to him about this crazy city and county that we live in. It's not just here. People don't submit to authority. He's the law. He represents what we say is law. But people buck it. I see kids all the time that have been allowed to get in the face of their parents. What are we teaching them? We're not teaching them to be submissive to authority. I'm 46 years old. Is that right? My wife's not here. Is that right? I think that's right. I'm 46 years old, and I still submit to my daddy. He's my daddy. Now, when it comes to my home, I'm the head of my house. But he's still my daddy. He's still that authoritative figure in my life. I have a pastor. I talk to him almost weekly. I still call him pastor. I'm very submissive to him. I'd do anything I could. Why? He's my pastor. Submission. God says if you're wanting to move forward, the first thing you've got to do is submit yourself. Yield or surrender. Not me, but you, God. And listen, you don't have to surrender to me. I don't want you to surrender to me. If you'll surrender to God, the rest of it will fall in place. He's the one that you ought to submit to. So the first area that we need to understand is we got to first, the Bible says, verse 7, submit yourselves. I can't do that for you. You have to do that. You have to say, not my will. That's what submission means. It says to surrender oneself to the will or authority of another. Not my will, but what? Thy will. That's submission. And tonight, can you truly, listen. There's areas in each one of our lives. I don't know what it is in yours. But there's places in each one of our lives where we could work on submission. There's things that God, as you grow in the Lord, you'll conquer this one spot, and God will say, well, what about this spot now? There's always room for that submissiveness. Why? Because, Lord, I don't want my will. Why? But I will do what I want to do. Well, let me remind you what it says. He says, you lust and you have not. You kill and you have not. To obtain, you fight and war, you have not. You want that? Is that really what your desire is? No, I want God's will. So you got to first submit. Verse number 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That's first. Second of all, resist the devil. Resist the devil. The word resist means to keep from giving in or yielding to. I wanted to make sure I read this right because I got this from a guy's quote. It says, you cannot submit to God totally without resisting the devil fully. Now, I'll read that again. You cannot submit to God totally without resisting the devil fully. Why? God's going one way, the devil's going the other way. They're not walking together. And if you're going to submit to God, you're going to have to go this way. You can't be going that way. So the second thing we need to learn to do is first be submissive to God. That means to yield yourself to the will or authority of God. Second of all, you need to learn to resist the devil. It means, again, to keep from giving in or yielding to. Third of all, he says, verse 7, submit yourself, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Verse number 8, draw nigh to God. That's where, I'm not going to say that's where we mostly need to get to, because we all fight that submissive thing. We all fight that resistive thing. You know, there's no temptation given unto man that God doesn't give a way out. Why do we face, why did God not take all that away? We need it. It grows us. It strengthens us. Teresa's got a flower, a rose bush. I cut it way back in the fall. Oh God, please let it die. No, I didn't say that. But I cut that thing back. You know why I cut it back? Because I knew it'd grow and be better this year than it was last year. God puts things in your life sometimes just to prune you a little bit. make it rough on you. Tear the ground up a little bit around you. Why? Because it's a growing process. So we've got to be submissive. We've got to learn to resist. But then he says this. He says, draw near to God. How do you do that? How do you draw near to God? There's all kinds of ways. But it first starts with a heart. When you love somebody, you'll draw closer to them. It'll get more intimate as days go forward. Why? Because you know more about them. They know more about you. And God tells us we need to draw nigh to Him. And you know what He says? He says if you'll draw nigh to Him, guess what He'll do? He'll draw nigh to you. So these are growing steps. Look with me real quickly over in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29. God knows us so good. He knows how we work. He knows how we do. Look at verse 13 of chapter 29. He says, wherefore, this is Isaiah 29, verse 13. He says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. You know what God's saying? He says, you say you love me, but you don't show it. You say you want me, but you don't act like it. Does that not sound just like what we read over here in James about our lust? We know how to play church. We know what the preacher wants to hear. We know how to play the part. God says, I see through it. He says, that lust of your flesh, it'll get you nowhere. He says, but when you really want me, I'll be there. And he says, you can draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. That's over in Psalms chapter 73. So you can draw nigh to Him through the Word of God, through prayer, through just that relationship. And then last of all, back over in the book of James real quickly. Again, these are just steps that God just puts in the Word of God. He shows us who we are. Then He gives us the verse 6, more grace. And then He says, submit yourselves, resist the devil, draw nigh to God. And then the last one, verse number 8, he says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. And then He says this, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. When I submit myself to God, when I resist the devil, when I decide that I don't want that, but I want Him, then there's a cleansing process. And my hands are cleansed. That's the outwardness. The things that I do. You know, again, people don't think like I do, which is sometimes a good thing. But you know what most people, we've dealt with it a little bit over the years. Again, it's getting ready to be summertime and people start getting naked in their attire. You know what, a lot of times, especially when I was a youth pastor, we tried to encourage our young people to dress modestly. Sometimes wearing a dress doesn't mean a lady's modest. But I'm just saying, you know, but you know, What most people that I've ever had to deal with when it comes to dress issues, they'll buck up on you. You know what that shows me right off the bat? They got a heart problem. Because I don't want them to do it for my sake. I want them to see that there's a God in heaven. And they ought to want to please Him. They should want their bodies to be that temple that God says it is. And we ought to want to glorify our God through our bodies. That's not just in dress. That's through what we hear. That's through what we watch. That's through how we talk. I was around a guy this week. Almost called him out, and I thought, this isn't the time nor the place. I watched him bow his head and pray over his food. And then as soon as he got done praying over his food, he was cussing right with the guys that was eating lunch with. I was thinking, you just said this with your actions, but then you just said this with your lip. There's something wrong there. I'm not saying the guy's not saved. I'm just saying there's something wrong. Double-minded. And God says the problem is there's a lust of the flesh. He says that if you're submitting, if you're resisting, if you're drawing, there'll be some cleansing. And he says there in verse 8, he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. See how easy this is? That's not that complicated. And again, it applies to everybody in the building. 1 through 5, it's who we are. Verse 6, God says, this is what I'll do. 7, 8, here's how we get closer to Him. It's every day, every day, every day. Let's stand together this evening.